Welcome to It Takes Energy, presented by Energy Transfer, where we talk all things oil and natural gas. Oil and gas drive our economy, ensure our country's security, and open pathways to brighter futures. The U.S. produces 13 million barrels of crude oil every day, enough to fill 800 Olympic swimming pools. But what is that oil used for? The gas we put in our cars is just the beginning. Nearly 50% of each barrel is refined into gasoline. Another 34% is refined into fuels like diesel and jet fuel. And the rest is used to make more than 96% of our everyday essentials, like the tennis shoes you wear, the cell phone you rely on, and medicines that help save lives. Look around, and you'll see the essential role oil and gas plays in our modern lives. Our world needs oil and gas, and people rely on us to deliver it. To learn more, visit ittakesenergy.com.
With the American Express Gold Card, I can earn 4 times membership rewards points at U.S. supermarkets. So with all these groceries, I'm also getting points. Learn more at americanexpress.com/US/explore-gold. Terms and points cap apply.
This is Dr. Shelley Kerr, PastLifeLady.com, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Today, I'm going to welcome back Sin Schrader Hill. Sin Schrader Hill is from Fayetteville, Tennessee, home of the very haunted old Fayetteville Hospital. Sin is the author of Whispers in the Dark, True Ghost Stories and Eerie Tales, Web of Terror, a short story collection, They're Speaking, Are You Listening?, My Most Compelling EVPs. And Sin has a brand new book out, well, it came out towards the end of last year. It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. That one really intrigued me. Can't we get into that one? Sin knew that she was an empath since an early age. She has helped other paranormal teams here and abroad. Sin is the founder of Elk Valley Paranormal. Welcome back to the show, Sin Schrader Hill.
Thank you so much for having me again. I look forward to speaking with you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure having you back on. And your last book we were talking about last year was They're Speaking, Are You Listening? I mean, that one really drew my attention to when I seen that. I'm like, wow, that seems very interesting. And then we talked about that was interesting. But then this new book, it's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. This to me kind of could go back to like Civil War time. I mean, when you think about it, when the Ouija board came out, people wanted to connect with their loved ones that they lost. That they never have a proper goodbye to. And I mean, guest after guest after guest I have on the show, we deal with the dead. The spirits are the dead. I mean, ghosts are the dead. And so many people, it's the unknown, and speaking to that loved one that you never had that proper goodbye to. I think we're going to get into your new book. But since you've been on last year, what has been happening with you? What's new?
I've just been working on these books, got that one out, working on my number 5 and number 6 right now, and about to get out my friend's book that I edit and put together. So a little bit busy with that. Other than that, the only kind of help paranormal wise, we've not actually done a lot of investigating, but we have since 2020. Mostly done house blessings and clearing out all that stagnant stuff. And people have been more stressed since mm-hmm. then. So I've been helping them learn how to sage their homes, their businesses, their selves, and stay up on that.
You think that maybe since COVID that things have kind of ramped up more in residential homes?
I think so. One reason, if anyone was having any kind of negative issues, you know, that can cause a lot of more negativity to come into the situation. And if they live in a place that has either passers through or actual ghosts that haunt there, those get ramped up more with the negative energy because they feed off of it. But also, with more people staying at home, it seemed like more people got into trying to communicate by themselves. And that was causing some major issues. Because, you know, if you don't quite know how to do something, it's better to ask somebody that has been involved and know how to go about any kind of questioning, any kind of that kind of thing, what to use, what not to use. And specifically, a lot of the people that we have dealt with just didn't close their sessions. When they were talking to whoever, they just did not close the sessions.
Yeah. How many times have I heard that? You know, even with working with like Ouija boards, if you don't close out that portal, that hole, you know, welcoming in God knows who knows what, you know, especially if you don't know what you're doing professionally. I mean, I would always call on the professionals to come in to you know, because they've done it. You've been around the block. And you hit the nail on the head when you said, you know, people are home more now. You know, they're starting to see their house they've probably never seen before because they're home, you know, 24/7.
That's right.
Know? And they never experience, you know, that noise downstairs or the noise in the attic or that's not the pipes clicking or, you know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So since you've been on last, have you added any new members to your team?
No, we have actually scaled way down. I've got, of course, my co-founder, Sean. We've still got Walt, my mountain man. He's really good with the Native American and earthy things. He's great. Chrissy hasn't been involved so much with us, but she has just got her doctorate in forensic science. So she's actually a doctor, Chrissy, now. And she's just been super busy and with that and her job. So she's not actually gotten to do very much with us at all. And then the other member I had was Wyatt that I was training as my videographer. And of course, you know, we lost him. So I've not added anyone. I've had a lot of people ask and we're not at a place that we think we need to expand. We need to go back to our roots and keep it small and stay in our area and learn more about our area because there's a lot going on.
You mentioned Wyatt. When I'm looking at this, your title of your new, I love the title. It's not goodbye signs. Did you come up with that or?
Actually, I was flipping around a bunch of different titles and couldn't quite pick one. And so my friend Valerie, who helps me smudge, and I see her often, not as often as I'd like, but we were just kind of talking one day in her shop and I said, I can't actually figure out a title. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? And she said, how about It's Not Goodbye? And it just went ding, ding, ding in my head and it was perfect. So Valerie gets the credit for my title.
I love that title. I mean, tell Valerie.
Thank you.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I thought of Wyatt when I read that, you know, I don't know why it came to me. I mean, I knew how close you were to him from the last time you were on the show. You know, it's got not goodbye signs from beyond. Do you see any connection there with Wyatt in this book?
Absolutely. I couldn't get it pulled together until after he was gone. It was almost written, but not quite. And then when we lost him, of course, I had to add his story in there. Since he's been gone, it's been over a little over a year now. We lost him on April the 6th, 2022. And we just had his 1-year angelversary last month. we're still not over losing him. I don't think we ever will be, because he was only 19 and a half.
That's way too late. Way too long. Yeah.
Way too young. And he was all of our baby. You know, he was everybody's baby. He just, my mom, he was the only grandchild, only child of my sister, and he was my baby too. I claimed him. So, you know, after we lost him, that's when I realized the book was supposed to be dedicated to him. And so I did, added his story in, but his story is continuing, and he is showing up so much.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you got any signs, like, you know, he's here or he's there?
Yeah, I had something odd happen last week. As a matter of fact, I helped my husband mow a couple of areas around here, and I met him that day. So he was already mowing, already weed eating, and I got there, got out of my truck. And when I get out of my truck, the seat moves up after you turn the key off. And then when you put the key back in the ignition, it goes back exactly to where you had it when you drove it last. So if like my mom would get in to drive it, she'd have to move the seat way up. If Greg, my husband, got in to drive it, he'd have to move the seat back. Otherwise, it's going to go exactly where I had it for me. So I get there. I, you know, mow. So after a little while, I come back over to the truck done and crawl in, and nothing was out of the ordinary. Not a thing was wrong. I put the key in the ignition and it came exactly back where it was supposed to. And I thought, you know what? I need to check my phone to make sure I still have the appointment that I'm supposed to go to. And it had been canceled. I got back out of the truck, got back on the lawnmower, helped my husband finish this yard. And when I came back to the truck, I opened it and my seat was laid back about 8 inches, like somebody was napping. I hadn't done that. I asked my husband, "Did you come over and open the door for any reason?" And he said, "No, all the controls are down on the side, on your left-hand side, you know, and there's a button for everything, just about, to move it up, to move it back, whatever." But I hadn't touched those. So I asked him, he said, "No," got past that. I crawled up in my truck. And that's when I realized, when I turned the thing on, that the seat stayed back and I was too short to drive it. I had to move it up. The only thing I can put it to is that Wyatt showed up. I had been, for some reason, this is just one of my things I do when I mow with my husband. I've got my earbuds in. I'm listening to songs that Wyatt loved and thinking about him and crying. So I'm mowing and crying, mowing and crying. And he had been on my mind quite a bit when I got back in that truck. He had visited me just to say, "I gotcha. I gotcha."
Yeah, that's a beautiful story. Well, I hear that quite a bit, you know, certain signs of a loved one reconnecting, you know, in different ways.
Absolutely.
Probably his way of doing it, you know, of showing you, inside that truck, you know.
Yeah. Now, he shows up at my sister's quite often. She's seen him in reflection. She's seen him as a ball of light that has moved around the room. And she has, you know, rubbed her eyes to make sure she's not dreaming. And she's not. The dog has even stopped and watched this huge ball of light. He has manifested at the end of her bed. He has just different things. He continues to open his bedroom door and turn the lights on. And she'll have to go in and she'll leave them on for a little while and say, "Okay, baby, I love you. I miss you. I'm going to leave them on for a little while." And then she'll go turn them off. But he shows up with my mom on her electronic things because, you know, spirits are energy. So it's easy for them to work with electronics. One of the things he likes to do to my mom is when she's reading on her Kindle, She'll have it propped up in front of her drinking coffee or whatever. And, you know, you'll tap the screen to change the page, right? Well, she won't be touching the screen. She'll just be looking and reading. And all of a sudden, it'll flip forward to the next chapter and then go immediately right back to where she was reading. After about the fourth time, she finally, you know, after we talked about it, she finally has decided, okay, I know that's Wyatt now, so I'm going to close it and just sit and talk to him. Susan, my sister, was actually telling me a story back in February. She and I were talking. Her dog, her cat were in the room, but they were asleep. The television was off. I actually got an EVP. I have it on the phone if you would like to hear it.
Sure.
Okay. So Susan was telling me a story that had happened. She is just talking here, and then you're going to hear a couple of taps, and then there's a voice. I'm not speaking. Here you go.
I said, yeah. And then he
did
said.
Did you hear that?
Then he said.
Did you hear it?
I didn't hear it, no.
Let me try it one more time. Let me see if I've got my volume all the way up. All right. So it's my sister talking.
And I said, yeah. And then he
did
said.
Did you hear that?
Then he said.
Did I you heard, hear the voice?
I heard it that time. Yeah.
And that was not me saying, did you hear that?
That wasn't?
No. No. That's Wyatt. Let's hear it one more time. So I'll take it back just a little bit.
And I said, yeah. And then he
did
said.
Did you hear that?
Then he said.
It is the clearest, cleanest.
Wow. Yeah, that
EVP.
Is. Wow. Yeah.
I've never gotten one that clear and that clean. And when I was taping it on my phone.
When you played that back the first time, did you hear that? I heard that, but I didn't know if there was something.
Exactly.
Right.
It's so
it was so clear. Right.
Exactly. Right. Most people think, well, that's you. Didn't you just ask? Did I hear that? No, that's not me. That's
or
Wyatt.
Your sister's husband or.
No. Yeah. No, it's
I never heard Wyatt, but. Does that sound like him?
It is his voice. And he's
wow.
actually smiling as he says it. So we've been around him so much to know that there's a smile in his voice as he's talking.
That had to blow your sister's mind.
Oh, it blew mine first because I was transcribing that story. And when I heard that, I just stopped.
Oh, wow.
And I went and banged on the bathroom door. My husband was about to take a shower. And I said, are you in the shower yet? And he said, no. I said, please come out here. And I was in tears.
Oh, yeah.
I was just beside myself. And he thought, of course, something was wrong. And I said, please sit down with me just a second. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, I just need you to listen to something. And I played it for him. And he said, that was Wyatt. I said, yes, it was.
And you picked it up on what?
It's just on my cell phone.
I was
going to
say there was no EVP box or
no
spirit box
nothing.
Or wow, that is uh-uh. that's amazing. That's really clear.
Yeah, it's the best one I've ever gotten. And yeah, I tell you, if I had been thinking, I would have already been going back through everything I've recorded just to see if I could hear his voice because. I love EVPs. You mm-hmm. know, I'm always working with them. But for some reason, it just was not in my head to check those. I'm glad I did.
Oh, most definitely. Wow. Because, you know, I have on here that you were an empath. You are an empath. When did you, I mean, it says that at a young age. And I might have asked you this before, but let's revisit that.
Sure. I did not know until I got with a group that trained me. I had been having experiences all my life and not knowing what was going on. I knew I wanted to be a part of a group. I knew I wanted my own group, but I didn't know how to go about having one. So I was trained by a group, Ghost Hunters of Southern Tennessee. It was James Jones and Wayne Baker are the co-founders of that. They're up in McMinnville. And that is about 2 hours from me, so a little bit far for me. But I stayed with them for about a year while they trained me, and I learned what to do on investigations, what to ask, what to look for, what equipment to use, how to use it, different things like that, prayers, just different things. And it was walking around one night at a residential. We were out in the yard walking. There were some of us inside, and I was walking outside with Wayne, and he was just letting me walk, and just watching me, actually. Just kind of, it was like babysitting, I guess. But I asked him, I said, do you feel anything? He said, what do you feel? And I said, something is staring at us. Do you feel that? He said, I do. He said, where is it? And I pointed. He said, that's where I'm getting to. And he said, you are an empath. You're sensitive to this kind of stuff. And I said, no, I didn't. I did not. He said, you need to go with your instincts because they're good. So no, Wayne was the one that brought it to my attention. I had no idea.
The Fayetteville Hospital, are you still connected with that?
Speak to the owner quite often. It is still closed to investigations, unfortunately.
I was going to give a link to it to where you can go maybe tour it or do a paranormal investigation.
Yeah, we wish, but no, still having trouble with the city. So I don't know when that's going to change.
Depends who's over in charge, with these
Yeah.
corporations. I find it interesting that you had to be rescued during a couple of your investigations. Explain that.
Not the investigations. I've been rescued from a couple of wrecks.
Rex?
Wrecks. One, I was in Rutherford County. I was going to meet my best friend that evening for dinner, and then we were going out to a club. But I was meeting her. She was going to get off work driving from the Nashville area, and we were going to meet. And I was going down a road too fast. I was early 20s, everything at that age. So, you can't be hurt at that age. And I was going too fast on a road I didn't know and lost control in a curve and overcorrected and ended up actually going right between a couple of trees in this grove of trees. I ended up right between two big ones, and it was dark out, so I couldn't see what I was around. It wasn't until the cops got there that one of them walked me over to the edge of the road and said, do you hear that? Because I couldn't see anything. It was dark, and it was on one of those roads that was not lit up. He said, listen. And I could hear water rushing, and he said, everybody that has wrecked right here has gone off on this side of the road, not on the left-hand side like you did, and they died. So it, whether or not I was guided over there.
I can say maybe you think of a guardian angel or.
The other time I was rescued, I know there was somebody in the car with me. I know it because this was only about 15 years ago, and I was aware of more at this point. I didn't know that I was sensitive, but I was more aware. And somebody was in the car with me when I wrecked, and I did a couple of 360s. I saw the southbound lane of I-65. I saw them coming. It was incredibly busy. I was going for a home health visit and had an hour to get there, and all of a sudden the bottom dropped out of the sky, lifted my car up and took me into the median to the other side of the road where the people were southbound, and nothing I could do except pray. That's all I could do. And I had not a scratch on me when I ended up backwards about 15 feet from the drop off that, why did I stop right there? But after I did stop, all I could do was just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. That was all I could say. Thank you, Lord. Over and over. I bet I said it 500 times. Somebody, whether it was an angel or my dad as a spirit there, I don't know, but somebody was there.
Something, like you said, something was in that car with you, or was it God? Was it a spirit? That's a sign of something was there.
Exactly.
Getting back to Wyatt, I think this book is kind of derives from him, right? I mean, I'm thinking, that's what I'm thinking. I may be wrong.
Not in the beginning. You know, this was the weirdest thing, because I write scary stories, true ones. And this book, God just put this in my lap and said, you need to write a book about signs. And so I didn't have personally enough. My family didn't have enough, my friends. So I put the word out and got 50 people sent in stories from around the country, even one from England. And the English girl wrote about losing her grandfather and his cat that she took in. And then after the cat died, the grandfather and the cat checked in with her. So this book has just been amazing as far as getting people's stories out. And I wanted to also to put a memorial to each person that they were writing about. So I've got one story that, of course, is Wyatt's, and another story that what happened to my mother, but it's actually my grandmother. When she had a really, really hard fall that she thought she was dying, my grandmother appeared to her and shook her head as if to say, no, it's not your time. And it wasn't her time, but she saw her mother that had been dead for years. Mm-hmm. She actually died, I think it was 2 years. No. She died 2 weeks before Wyatt was born. So she never even got to meet Wyatt in life.
Okay.
And so this book, I'm memorializing people. So if people didn't want to do that, they didn't have to. I've got 5 anonymous stories that we have made up names and made up memorial to. But the memorials mostly have the birth and the death dates. So of the people that we talked about, and like I said, 50 people wrote into the, and some of them had 3 and 4 stories, different things. So it's been incredible. It's been so incredible that I've already got 10 or 12 stories for a sequel to this book.
I can ask you, is there part 2 to this?
You know? Yes. So to your listeners, if anyone has a story, and its signs can be anything about pennies that were left, or cardinals, or someone helping you, someone in the car with you. It can also be things like pets coming back to see us. It can also be like dreams that you thought was a dream, but ended up being more than a dream. Was it a vision? Near-death experiences and death. Bad conversations. You know, if you've ever been around someone, especially my grandmother had Alzheimer's advanced. And so she would speak about her mother and father and her cousins before she died. So those kind of things is what this book entails. If any of your listeners have anything they would love to add anonymously or not, they can write to me at sinschraderhillauthor@gmail.com, and I'll be glad, more than glad, to put those in. It's going to come out next year.
And I'm going to put your links on the bottom of this episode, but I'm going to take a short break right here. Then we're going to come back and talk about the book, and I got a couple other questions, and I'll let you go.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
Are you looking for a new book to read? Check out my newest book, An Awakening, by Wendy M. Cope, last name spelled K-O-K. Basically, it's a story of good versus evil, and these things slowly start taking over the residents of this small northern town in Nielsville, Wisconsin, and I would love it if you would read it. My books are available on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, Book Baby Bookshop, everywhere really, and you can find me at WendyMCopeAuthor.com.
Okay, I'm back with Sin Schrader Hill. Now we're going to get into the new book. It's Not Goodbye, Signs from Beyond. What led you to write this book?
God just kind of put it in my lap. I have been writing scary stories since 2018, true ghost stories, things that have happened to me and my friends and my team. But this was different. It was, he put it in my lap, and I knew that I needed to write a book about signs. So anything from coins, feathers, cardinals, you know, people say they see signs all the time. It can also be like perfume smell. Maybe your grandmother wore a certain perfume, and that shows up. So I've got stories about that. I've got stories about pets visiting. I've got stories about near-death experiences where the people actually died and were brought back, and the things that they went through during that time frame, which was, some of them are just incredible. Incredible. And then I have deathbed conversations where you've got an elderly person that is just about to die, and they start seeing their lost loved ones, maybe their parents. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that would make the parents 150 or something at the time. So, you know, it just, they're not in the room, but they are. Somebody is in the room with the people. So that's what all this book is about.
Then, so you do believe that you can move a spirit on?
I do. I do. I also believe that there are those that don't want to be moved on. Maybe they haven't finished what they wanted to finish, you know, but I do believe there is a way. I have talked to, I've actually sent one on from my own home that I brought back from Valley Forge and did not realize I had a hitchhiker with me. I wasn't feeling well, and it was, ended up being a nurse from that era. And she came all the way back to Tennessee with me. I noticed it because something was different. I could hear and just feel that somebody else was in the room with me, that I wasn't by myself and my husband would be at work. We also at that time had a ghost cat. It was before I had actually moved all of my things in after we got married. My cat was the last thing I actually moved in when we got settled. And I noticed we had a ghost cat before I brought my cat with me. And so, long story short, this nurse and my ghost cat connected. And when I found out how to send her on, I thanked her for everything she did for me and wished her back to her home. She actually left with the ghost cat, which is fine. I hope they're happy. I want them to be happy.
You believe some, you can carry a spirit with you? I do, you know. That's why I have a cross over here. I got one in the back of my studio back there. My wife's always saying, don't bring this stuff home with you, you know, because she's not into paranormal. And I did a, and I don't do investigations anymore. So since I had my heart surgery a few years ago, I'm thinking back in the, when I did my documentary on true ghost stories from Northeastern Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, what you can carry with you. That's why I do a protection prayer before I go into a house, or after I leave, or before I leave the house. In all your investigations, what haunt stands out the most that you've been involved with?
Stands out the most?
Because I think a lot of investigators have that one certain investigation that stands out more than others.
I have got There's been a couple that, and I've done both of them with Mark Elliott Fultz. Mark is a medium, a psychic, and does energy work. And he also does the covers of my books and the illustrations in my books. So that's how I met him on an investigation, and then I've gotten to do some things with him. And he actually died on the table. I think they had to bring him back two, possibly a third time. I know it was twice with the defibrillator. And once they brought him back, he was already very sensitive and sensed things and saw occasional things. But when they brought him back that second or third time, he could see all of the stuff that is floating around us, the spirits, the space junk, you know, all of that stuff. And he is something else to have at an investigation, because he'll do seances, he'll do the different talking boards and stuff. Now, I will do a talking board with him, because he has actually made them and blessed them, and they're all on his energy instead of going to like Toys R Us and getting a Ouija board or whatever. He has actually come through a couple of different times that have just floored me. One of the ones, I'll tell you the one I think that got me the most. It took about probably 3 years after the fact. We were asked to do, my team was asked to come to Hell's Bar Dam to help with a public event. Mark was going to do a seance in one half. One of my team members and I were sitting in the crossroads of Hell's Bar Dam. Crossroads is a creepy, creepy, creepy spot. And then there was a second group that was down the hall from us that was showing the people how to use the different equipment. Mine and Matthew's job that evening for the four different groups was to show how we caught EVPs, what mm-hmm. we went about, how we did this. And so we showed burst sessions and we showed different things. We played a few EVPs that we caught. During the night, there was one, a gentleman that came right between Matthew and I before we started. I think that was the third group, and said something to us. And normally I don't hear things until later when I'm going over my recordings. But I heard that man, and I looked directly at Matthew, and Matthew was looking at me, and he said, "Did you hear that too?" And I said, "Yes, I did. I don't know what it was." Find out later that it was somebody that wanted to get justice. And that's exactly what he says. I want to get justice. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure who it was. It could be one of the people that had worked there and died. There were many of those. Before that, it was, of course, Native American ground. And we're talking about way back, like thousands of years, mm-hmm. not just Cherokee and that kind of thing. But Matthew took a break during one of the breaks between the groups and went to the bathroom or whatever. And so I was just sitting in the crossroads by myself, going over a couple of the bursts, trying to listen to see if I could hear anything. And, you know, you would hear things. It was a creepy spot, but I wasn't scared. When he came back in about 10 minutes later, he said, "Sin, are you okay?" "Yeah. Why?" And he said, "Come here." So he hadn't come all the way across the crossroads. I walked 15 feet and he said, "Now turn around." And I turned back around, and the chair I was sitting in was engulfed in this red, hazy fog that I wasn't aware of while I was sitting there. And I didn't know what it was. We watched it recede and go around the corner and disappear. I had an EVP that night that took me, I couldn't figure it out. Asked everybody. I thought it was a military chant. It wasn't. I couldn't think of anything else it could be. I asked everybody I could think of except Mark. Why I didn't ask Mark, I don't know. 3 years down the road, we're talking on the phone. about EVPs. And I said, in Hell's Bar Dam. And I said, you know, I've still got that EVP I can't figure out. He said, send it to me. So I sent it to him. And he called me back immediately and said, that's the Indians. Those are the Indians I've been telling you about. They were here a long, long time ago. They wore red and black and white paint around their eyes. Mm-hmm. And on their cheeks, he said, they're so happy when people are there to try to speak to them because they're so excited. They're somebody wants to talk to them. You know, they're there when they show up in a red fog. I hadn't told him about the red fog. That was incredible to me.
Yeah, it's because, you know, something leaves you scratching your head, you know.
Yeah.
I've always said the paranormal is the unexplained. So, you know, how can you sometimes you just can't explain it. You know, almost all the time, you can't explain it. I mean, you can get some.
That's right.
Because your EVPs might show something than my show, you know. And I've always been myself recently is just basically I go into a haunted house. I can tell. I just know. I can feel it. So even in this house, we moved here about 5 years ago. The elderly lady that lived here, her name's Greta. So she was a heavy smoker. So, and my wife and I aren't. So every now and then you can smell a puff of smoke, like cigarette smoke. And I'll just say, Greta, you know, take it outside. And it'll go. And my wife said, you know, just not long ago, it was just, do you smell that? And I says, I do, you know. And it's not the first time she said it to, you know. So you know, when you say you could smell perfume, you know, or of that person. I mean, your mother wore a certain perfume or your dad in the aftershave or whatever. Sometimes that lingers on, you know.
That's right. And, you know, speaking of smoke, a lot of people wrote about smelling a particular type of cigarette smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the type that their dad or uncle or whoever. And I'm telling you, this book has just been an eye opener to me, too.
So where can my listeners go to get a hold of you or buy your books?
I'm self-published on Amazon, so all four of my books are there, Sin Trader Hill. And as far as reaching out to me, I'm on Facebook. Elk Valley Paranormal is on Facebook. We also have elkvalleyparanormal.com. where you can go and look at our evidence. And as far as that third book, I don't know if I told you, but that was the EVPs.
Right.
While you're reading that book, you can actually go to elkvalleyparanormal.com and pull the evidence section menu down to their speaking. And as you read the book, they're speaking. Are you listening? Each EVP that you come to, you can listen to it on our website.
Oh, that's cool. That's good to know.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show, and I will put your links on the bottom of this episode, and I wish you the best of luck with the book and your new book coming out, hopefully into this year or next year.
Right. Well, the sequel is going to come out next year. My next book, I'm planning on bringing it out in October, and it's going to be some of the spookier investigations we've done. Mm-hmm. So a little darker than the other ones I've written.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Sin Trader Hill, for that great interview. And please go to Amazon and check out Sin Trader Hill's books. You won't be disappointed. They are very well written, and she is a great person and a great author. I'm going to have a bonus episode next week. Make sure you stop back and listen to that one. I usually put out 2 episodes a month. I'm starting to pepper in a couple bonus episodes during the season. As you wait on the next episode, I'm your host, Al Cooley, and thank you for listening to Ghosts in the Valley podcast.